Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hi, everybody. This is Dave Hodges. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show, and we are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're really glad to be with you. We have a terrific segment coming up with John Cruz, former vice president of HSBC Bank. That's right. The bank that's been in the news, the bank, the notorious bank, the one that does business with the bad guys. And John's going to talk about how he discovered their dealings with the bad guys and the resistance he met from people like Loretta Lynch. It's going to be quite the revelation, but we're also going to tie it into present current events. Now, John and I did a couple of interviews 4 or 5 years ago where we hit on many of these topics, but I think we were kind of too early for people to really relate to what was going on. But before we get started with John, I need to let you know this show is brought to you by two people. First of all is my good friend Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. And I got to tell you, Steve is the best there is at converting, well, your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals that hold its value. Will this $22 trillion sink the economy? I don't know. We're seeing some problems in the home market right now, so better safe than sorry. And I have to tell you, Renaissance Precious Metals is really the way to go. And do I think you should convert everything? No, and neither does Steve. And Steve tells you if you don't have excess cash, you know, buy food. He's really upfront. He's really honest about that. So what can you also get from Steve? Well, I'll tell you, you'll get delivery, you'll get service, and you'll get backing for what he does. And what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, I'm a friend of Steve's. Secondly, I'm a business colleague of Steve's, and I have to tell you that what he tells you he's going to do, he does. So Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. That's 406-586-4842. We're also brought to you by what we call preparewithdave.com. Did you see where DHS came out this past week and said you have to have 6 months of storable food because you got to be prepared to be off the grid for that long? I'm wondering what they know that we don't. FEMA issued that warning about 9 months ago. We think you need 2 years, but we realize that's a burden to build up to that, so we sell food in increments of 2 and 4 week packages, 70% off sale right now. Restaurant quality, it tastes great. I've tasted it myself. 25-year shelf life. Go to preparewithdave.com. That's preparewithdave.com. And those are the two sponsors that bring this segment to you with John Cruz. Well, John Cruz, for the people who followed me for a long time, you're going to say, oh, yes, I remember John. He bravely took on the bad guys. And, man, he discovered a whole lot more than what he first thought was going wrong. We're going to let him tell that story. John, welcome to the show, and it's really, really good to have you back on again.
David, thank you for having me again.
Well, it's terrific. Because with the audience who's new, and we've attracted a lot of new followers in the last 4 or 5 years, but they're going to discover what I know. You're a man of conviction and courage and integrity. And you had kind of reached the, well, you've reached sort of an apex in your career when you were with HSBC. I mean, after all, you made vice president. I imagine the money was good. You're living a good life. And then you started making some really startling and disturbing discoveries. Let's talk about that.
When I was at HSBC, the bank was going to use me as an escape goat for all their money laundering. Putting a lot of accounts in my name, a lot of fraudulent accounts, billions and billions of dollars of money laundering every month. I mean, and I discovered that they were using the public's identity to do this. And they still do it today. Politicians are being paid off night and day. They're under prosecution. They're still putting hundreds of millions of dollars into the coffers of these politicians. And nothing gets done. It is true that they paid out $1.9 billion fine, but it is not true that the money came to the bank. The money came from the shareholders. Not one person went to jail. Not one person is going to go to jail.
let's go back to the very beginning. You're there in like a supervisory role, which most vice presidents in banks serve. And what tipped you off that something was wrong, and what did you find?
What tipped me off to know something was wrong is when I started working, and I was supposed to just have 150 accounts max, and I wind up having thousands of accounts. I'm like, how can one individual handle thousands of accounts? It's totally impossible. Then I started reviewing my accounts, being suspicious already, having so many accounts. I started calling accounts. A lot of accounts, no one would ever answer phones. So I had to go visit these accounts because that was my job. I would go visit accounts all through New York City, New Jersey, and all, only to find out that the tax IDs were real. Social Security numbers through the accounts were all real Social Security numbers. But the businesses don't exist in real function. They only exist in the electronic world. I went to 21 accounts in one building in Manhattan. Every account had $1 billion a month going through it.
A billion?
And not one account had over $1 billion a month going through it. It was all fictitious accounts. This is the bank. You have to understand HSBC Bank is a cooperative bank between the British government and American government for crime. They transfer the money for crime. And they use the public's identity to transfer this money around the world.
Wow, it's stunning to hear you say this. A billion. These fake tax ID and fake Social Security numbers, did they belong to real people?
They were not fake. They were real Social Security numbers to real people. But the people did not know that these accounts were under their names in the bank. They were listed as unidentified. So the bank would not send any information to the IRS because it's a non-interest-bearing account. But if you take an attorney's escrow account, and everybody has to have an escrow account doing some kind of function with an attorney for the money, and HSBC Bank is the only bank that I ever known that required the information from a seller of a house, never mind the buyer. The buyer puts a deposit down, you have to have an attorney escrow account for the deposit. But the seller would have to open an escrow account just because there was a transaction taking place, so the bank would get all of the information of both sides, the attorney would create escrow accounts, they'd have the documentation, and then they would create fake accounts that they could not see using their name, their Social Security number. And they do the same thing with business accounts around the world. And therefore, I can transfer money to 190 countries around the world, in and out, and have everything all done nice and smooth and sweet because I control the computer system. I do my own investigations for law enforcement. I control everything.
Let me ask you this. How would they obtain? Did you find out how HSBC obtained these Social Security accounts that belong to real people that they misused to launder money?
Every time there's a transaction done around the world, for instance, Wells Fargo, they want to transfer money, they use HSBC Bank. So they have to give the individual's name, Social Security number, address, all the documentation, so the bank has everything to do whatever they want to create more accounts. It's a very easy system. You go into a bank and you give the bank your Social Security number and they can pull up your accounts. Well, they would control the system that the accounts would not be able to be disclosed to anyone other than them because they trigger it with certain keys and codes that's the only way to be able to see that account.
Wow, it's stunning to think of the implications. Does this ever bleed over to where someone who has unknowingly had their ID stolen, used in this manner, get into trouble with the IRS?
It's a huge issue for someone. It's a huge issue for the public. It happens quite often. But everyone is like, the IRS is like, you open the account. you have $250 million. You didn't show on any tax returns. Therefore, you owe us the tax money. Now, this doesn't just involve HSBC Bank. It involves your PayPal, your American Express. It's a whole banking system of organized crime makes everything look real. You walk in, oh, it's a real Social Security number. Oh, it's a real person. Oh, there's real transactions. And as a law enforcement, you're like, okay, it's real. But it's really not real because it's the other side doesn't even know what's going on.
This is amazing. I mean, that's something that I didn't think to ask you when we first talked. Had people become victims of this through tax fraud? Is the IRS complicit in this or just taking advantage of it?
The IRS takes full advantage of it. The IRS is pulled and pulled by our government officials. Our government officials, with this lobbying we got going on and all these payoffs through this money, through this lobbying, nobody's going to do nothing because the big guys are paying them off through their lobbying.
Is the Federal Reserve complicit in these illicit operations as well?
Federal Reserve needs to be dismantled. It's totally involved. It's a huge money operation for all entities, just making money.
Give me an example how the Federal Reserve would benefit and want to be involved in what HSBC was doing.
Well, the bank does hundreds and thousands and millions of transactions every day. So the money's flowing through the Federal Reserve, and they get paid for profits for money. So everyone makes some kind of money profit off that money being transferred around the world, going through the Federal Reserve.
Wow. This is stunning. I mean, just on an individual level, I can't even imagine what someone would go through to discover an account open their name. They got $250 million in the account, and the IRS comes knocking, and these people have no idea what they're talking about.
No.
Now, you say you're aware of some of these cases. I can't recall ever having seen this in the mainstream media. Is this something they keep out of the media, or how do they adjudicate this? Do you know?
Mainstream media is one of the biggest problems today. I mean, you don't hear a lot of stuff in mainstream media that belongs there unless you hear something going against Trump. And you'll hear everything going against Trump. But something happens with something like this against HSBC Bank, any socialist, Democrat, you don't hear a lot of stuff going on. They hide everything. They control everything. The mainstream media is bought.
That's true.
In mainstream media, you ever hear about with President Trump campaigns being paid for by terrorist organizations?
No.
You don't hear about it?
No.
Done night and day.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Did you hear seven terrorist organizations, funding the Clinton campaign to become president? Didn't hear about that either.
Did that come from the gun running the Clintons were doing to these rogue organizations?
Gun running, uranium deals, the Clinton Foundation. I mean, I just came out my new book, Whistleblower Blood Money, Obama, Clinton, Comey, Lynch. I showed the people a lot of stuff in here, how the Clintons got rich, how all the money flows, how the Obama administration was promoting the money laundering through HSBC Bank.
My goodness. I just made that discovery, too. And when we talked, 4 years ago, I think was the last time, I began to trace the roots of what we had talked about when Clinton first announced her campaign. And I linked into the fact that James Comey was on the board of HSBC at the time Clinton was laundering money through that bank. And then he conveniently becomes the FBI director under Obama. I mean, I'm sure you've pointed that out in your book.
Oh, it's a lot more. I pointed in my book. How is it that an FBI director who runs the FBI then goes on the board of directors on the bank while the bank is being prosecuted, and the bank never gets anything done for him, and then goes right back to the FBI, and the whole entire FBI does nothing about anything that's going on illegal? To him, to the Clintons, to anyone, to the whole FBI foundation. There are so many people that can be implicated, it's just mind-boggling.
So you actually visited some of these places where they had these so-called boiler rooms for fake accounts. Were they in houses, apartments, office buildings? And if so, when you visited them, what did you typically see?
Well, either they were just using an address there and it didn't exist. There was no business there. My example was on Manhattan was when I went to the 21 offices that were supposed to be there. They weren't there. So I went to management and I contacted the management there and they brought me and showed me the books of all the tenants, trying to find the tenants that I was looking for that were there. And they're like, we have no such thing as any corporations here with those names ever in the life of the building. Other scenarios were there was just a piece of land. It was a sand pile in some of them. There were just a vacant building standing there. Some were businesses, but it was out of a house. And I had a lot of businesses coming out of houses where the houses were vacant pretty much. The only reason you walked in, somebody greeted me, and there was a chair and a desk, and that's it. Well, how do you have a business here to sell product, close to have product in the hand, and you don't have nothing here?
So
that was the course of my – I would find it every day. I would find a business like that.
So you found a lot of this boiler room operation situation where they were laundering the money. And I have to believe, too, the IRS had to know because they monitor wire transactions.
Oh, the IRS does know.
Yeah, they had to know.
Well, I filed a whistleblower complaint with the IRS. My response from the IRS was, one, they were going to collect $500 million just from two accounts. And I was entitled to a whistleblower fee of 30%. They never heard of anything going on like this. I met with two senior officials of the IRS, and I actually have voice recordings of them. Met with another senior official in Manhattan, and he point blank stated he could not deny any one of my allegations against the bank. He would not say they're true, but he says I can't say they're true. It's illegal for me to say it's true, but I can tell you this. I cannot find any one of your allegations to be false. I said, okay. After that, I got a letter from the IRS stating they were unable to collect. What does that mean? I don't know. Because the money's in the bank. You can get the money from the bank. All the tax revenues from this bank is a multi-trillion-dollar bank. And go after everyone. But instead, you're telling me you're unable to collect and you do nothing.
I'm stunned because they have the ability to place liens on accounts. That's how they typically grab their booty. So why couldn't they just go in and say, we're seizing this at least until we can make a determination?
Because someone in our political world told them, leave the bank alone. And that's how our system works.
Well,
the little guys would be taken apart and taken down, but the big politicians, this is their fair game.
Is it fair to say, before I go, I got a whole litany of questions here, but is it fair to say that HSBC Bank is the bank for criminal activity involving high-level officials?
Yes.
That's the sense I get when I do my research on this, that this is the, if you want to hide something that you're involved in illegally, this is where you do it. And so let's go to the kind of activities. As you were investigating these boiler rooms and discovered all this identity fraud and you were being stonewalled at district attorney levels, did you make a discovery as the kind of laundering they were doing from what businesses? And if so, how did you make that determination?
No, you could not discover from a certain type of business because it was every type of business. They didn't care about the business and what type of business it was. They just cared that they can launder money through those businesses. I mean, from human trafficking from Mexico and all these children, from drugs around the world, from illegal weapons, illegal arms, illegal money, gold, everything. They don't care what the business is because they're just going to use the business to transfer the money.
Mm-hmm. How did you determine? Because I know when we talked before, I think you mentioned to me, you discovered child sex trafficking. You just mentioned the gun running, the drug running, and cartel involvement. How did you make those determinations when we spoke previously?
After reviewing all the transactions and everything, I went to law enforcement. I didn't make the determination of these accounts. They told me. I sat with senior district attorneys. I sat with law enforcement, and they told me this is drug money. This is terrorist money. This is money laundering for any and every crime out there. This is what the bank does. And they looked at my accounts and they go, we know some of these names just by glancing at them. They're like, they even said, does the bank even know you're here? And then the other one turns around and goes, he wouldn't be here if they knew he was coming here.
What did that mean to you?
That would mean that somebody would have tried to kill me.
Exactly. That's how I take it too. So, you know, let's step back and take a global view of this just for a moment. John, I'm glad you're here, but how is it that you are here? I'm surprised given your level of involvement with this treachery.
How am I here?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how have you survived all these years without them sending out the goon squad to get you?
I have a lot of voice recordings. A lot of voice recordings they don't even have. I have a lot of information that they don't have, and I don't even have it now because I put things away. I don't put it on computers. I don't put it on the internet. I don't put it where anyone can see it unless the word goes out, you know, it needs to go out.
So you've done, let me tell you what I do in this business. When I come across something, like when I came across the fact that there was a near coup over the Benghazi situation as it was unfolding, and it would have been directed at Obama and his cabinet, I knew I had hot potatoes. So what I did is I went horizontal and I distributed my findings along with the evidence to about 50 people who most of them were unrelated to the media in any form. Is that the kind of process that you engaged in to ensure your safety?
Oh, yes.
Okay, that's what I figured. That was the prudent and smart thing to do. And I'm a big veteran of doing this. And you have to let it be known. So how did you let it be known that you had this damning information? So stay away from me because it'll get released if you harm a hair on my head.
Well, one thing I did was I was sending stuff from the bank's computer directly to my own personal email to make sure they knew that I was gathering information. But the biggest part they didn't know is when they emailed me to stop sending that information to personal email, they recognized that I have the information. And then I just kept on going in USBs and electronic data and just gathering everything and anything I could.
So at the end of the day, have you formed a global conclusion about what you ran across in HSBC? Because I know it's easy to get mired in the details and not see the overall picture, but do you have a sense now of the overall picture?
HSBC Bank is the king of crime. And they have made it that they can get away and do anything and everything it can with any crime there is. They will walk free and continue with those crimes.
Interesting. Let me tell you, it might take a few seconds to tell this story, but I've been working with a researcher named Marilyn Rupar, and she's got a good background, and we have both delved into the dealings in Humboldt County, California, where we have found that the legalization of pot was actually a way to get rid of the black marketeers and bring in corporates who are doing business with the Sinaloas. And the Chinese are also involved. George Soros interests are involved in this. And law enforcement conveniently looks the other way. We've heard they've been threatened. And it's not just Humboldt County. There's something there called the Emerald Triangle that brings in other areas in Northern California and Southern Oregon. And they have to have a laundering agent. And I suspect the laundering agent would be HSBC. Is this the kind of venture that they get involved in?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. They will definitely get into it. when they first started talking about marijuana being legal and all, and the first thing I said was, our big banks are going to be right there to collect the money, and our government is going to become the new mob.
That's pretty much what we're finding, because we're finding this business model has been exported to other communities as well. And I would imagine that they're using HSBC every step of the way. Let me ask you a question. Why HSBC and not Bank of America or Wells Fargo, who has a very bad past as well?
Because Wells Fargo, Bank of America, use HSBC because HSBC controls the money flow around the world. Wells Fargo does not have a presence around the world, neither does Bank of America. Compared to HSBC, they are the king of cash flow. They will take money through any country, anywhere. I mean, they're in 190 countries. That's a huge presence to be in.
Interesting. Are they involved in gun running for the purposes of regime change that you've ever seen? And I'm talking about HSBC.
They involve in everything. Anything that deals with money transfers or any legal, illegal activity taking place, HSBC Bank knows how to flow the money, and they do it.
My goodness. So would it be safe to say that HSBC would be able to, let's put it this way, if I had subpoena power and I could get into HSBC Bank's files, would I be able to uncover what you're saying, and would I be able to track criminal history of top politicians around the world?
Most likely not, because they control the computer systems, and I'll explain why. When I reported all these crimes taking place at the bank, law enforcement takes my information, gives it to HSBC Bank and says, is this true or is this not true? Can you please investigate this? So who's controlling the crime? HSBC Bank controls it all.
So they know about a possible impending prosecution before it ever occurs, and they can cook their own books to avoid. Am I hearing that correctly?
The books are cooked prior to even knowing that they're going to be found, that law enforcement knows about the crime. Law enforcement knows about the crime before it's taken place, because HSBC Bank has it all set up that this is what we do. We do the crimes to make money, and you follow it. We pay you a fine of approximately 10% of our income, and we all are happy with the income, so let's just keep doing it.
And did you have an encounter with Loretta Lynch's forces when you tried to expose HSBC?
I gave the DOJ, Loretta Lynch, all documentation to prosecute the bank. Loretta Lynch had to go in front of Congress and explain why no one went to jail. And she had to explain why she had my information and no one went to jail. Her statement to Congress was, we used Mr. John Cruz's information and came out with their final results of a $1.9 billion fine in 5 years, deferred prosecution. No other answer was given. No explanation, no details. That was it.
Well, they're damn lucky that I wasn't on that committee, because there's a lot of other questions to be asked. What was your reaction when Loretta Lynch was appointed to be Attorney General to replace Eric Holder?
Just another person to join the crowd of the individuals who are committing major crimes in this world. And my other reaction was, why? Why would we even accept this the way things are going? Well, I figured out why, because when you say if you were on a committee, well, why is it the committee, Congress members, collecting money from HSBC while it's being prosecuted? Why did HSBC pay hundreds of millions of dollars to congressmen's campaign funds while it's being prosecuted? Now, is that a campaign contribution, or is that a bribe?
Well, I know what I call it. Let's talk about some of the people involved. Who were the ones that you believe took money from HSBC while they were investigating HSBC?
Oh, there's so many. I mean, I couldn't even go on with it. It's just like every one of them were getting money from campaign contributions from the bank. I mean, the biggest ones are the Clintons.
Okay.
They got so much money.
I agree with that. We've implicated them in the past, and they are one of the key players. How about Dianne Feinstein?
Dianne Feinstein, Chuck Schumer. I had conversations with Chuck Schumer's office. I get told, this is how we do business.
They admitted it?
It's unbelievable. Whoa.
John, you're telling me they admitted to this?
I contacted Chuck Schumer's office, reported about this money laundering taking place. The staff in his office laughed at me. This is how business gets done.
My goodness. Let me ask you...
Nobody's heard those voice recordings yet, so they put away.
Nancy Pelosi? Question mark?
Big question mark there. Gets tons of campaign contributions from illegal entities around the world.
Including HSBC.
Oh, HSBC does all politicians and all. How they just keep going, doing what they're doing.
Do they send it directly like this is a gift from HSBC, or do they use front companies to deliver this bribe money?
They use other companies and all. They don't do everything. They don't do it direct. Some money gets done direct, yes, but most of it gets done through different channels.
See, this is stunning.
I mean, they can buy our presidency.
Yeah, the and they have. They definitely
can buy
have.
Our presidency through multiple sources.
Yeah, I'm here at a fork in the road here, and I think I'm going to take a left turn just for a second. How is it? Well, let me ask you a question here. Are you the only whistleblower of your status, you know, former VP? Are you the only whistleblower to come out against HSBC? And if not, who else has come out, and what kinds of things have they said?
I don't know if I'm the only one. No one will tell me anything because they protect themselves, including the SEC, the IRS. When they have a whistleblower, they say, oh, we have to keep it confidential. Well, when it comes to keeping it confidential, they can't even tell you the status of your case until you see it on the like the SEC's website, notice of action, and you never see anything there. I mean, it could take them years. I mean, I'm talking 10, 20 years. They don't care. They have no repercussions against them. So I don't know. There was one effort. Feinstein or something, but he came on HSBC in 2012 or something like that after I already blew the whistle and everything. I'm like, where did this guy come from? It's already happening. Everybody knows it's happening. But I think he just used a lot of other people's information. And according to Congress, with Loretta Lynch's testimony, myself, John Cruz, is the only whistleblower here in America. The only other whistleblower they knew of was someone from Swedish or France, and that was it.
You mean within the HSBC tree? That one
yes,
foreign
correct.
Entity had come out and said pretty similar things to you?
Yes, he was mostly dealing with the tax evasions.
Okay, the tax
evasions. He was not dealing with all the money laundering around the world of drugs and terrorists and all.
Do you know the identity of this person?
I'm trying to remember his name. It starts with Finn something.
Okay.
Harry Simpson something.
Well, it's not really. It's not in my book. It's in your book. Okay. So.
Yes.
Okay. Because I would like to pursue that angle as well too. Because when you got two coming out, I think what you've uncovered. Well, let me put it this way. Let's back up. What you uncovered at one time, you were the lone voice in the wilderness. But I and others went to work on this, and we were able to confirm almost everything you said. For example, Comey's involvement, as being a future FBI director, when he was on the board of directors for HSBC, we confirmed all this. We confirmed the involvement of the Sinaloa drug cartel. We confirmed a lot of the things you said when I first interviewed you. Tell the audience, you know, who may not have heard our first set of interviews, what kind of participants were involved in this money laundering? Who was the money being laundered for?
The money gets laundered for our government officials. They're the biggest key players in the whole thing. Oh. It's as simple as that. Our congressmen are all being paid off. And the money laundering that goes through our Congress and is not disclosed to anyone because they don't want anyone to know that they're getting the illegal money.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I'm going to return to that former question in just a second, but you opened up another door here. The reason I asked you about Feinstein, she comes into the Senate as a millionaire and she's going to leave as a multi-billionaire on a $170,000 a year public servant salary. Impossible. So that's why I asked you the question, is she one of these people that's being bought off? And then Nancy Pelosi is richer than God. She's estimated to be worth billions as well. So that's why the two names came up that I asked you about.
So where is the money coming from?
Exactly. That's what I want to know. So let's go back to my original question. Were you able to positively track or identify participants in the scheme that money was being laundered for, like the Sinaloas or Hamas, Hezbollah, terrorist organizations, child sex trafficking rings? I mean, what were you able to say, I know they're laundering money for these people?
As I stated before, law enforcement told me that my transactions had to do with all of those sources.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'll give you the biggest key of all on how our politicians get rich. And I'll use Hillary Clinton, for example. Terrorist organization financed her campaign over $1 billion. When she does those deals with the media and does these book deals with the book companies, who owns the book companies? The media companies. The media companies get paid to do our campaign advertising, but she can't get paid back through campaign finance. It's illegal. So let's just go ahead and do a book and give you $100 million back. Let's spread the wealth to all your congressmen through all your book deals, which are phony book deals. I mean, Tulsa sold 300,000 books the first day, but anybody ever say one source bought 300,000 books? Well, let me give you a $60, $70 million book deal. But hardly any books are sold for real, the real book buyers, because the bank can control on how to buy the books and make sure they get the money back. The media can control everything by buying books from the media company, but they own the media company. So all of our campaign contributions, everybody gets paid back through our campaign finances.
Do you know, do you have any examples of who these book companies are?
Just look at all the politicians, the book companies are that are paying these people to do books.
Okay.
I mean, who paid Comey millions of dollars for a book? Who paid the Clintons multi-millions of dollars for books? Who paid Obama multi-million dollars for books?
Boy, that's stunning. That was what that pregnant pause was about. because as you said this, what was running through my mind is it seems like everybody caught in controversy is writing a book during the controversy, which is really counterintuitive to what lawyers tell their clients when you're accused of something. Keep your mouth shut.
No, write a book. Make money. But I go ahead and write a book, and I have to self-publish because no publishing company will allow me to publish a book with their names in it.
Interesting. How's the self-publishing business going for you?
Well, when you get told by your advertising media companies that I went to do advertising in New York, put up a billboard, and I pay for it, and I get an email back stating, I'm sorry, but the Democrats won't allow you to advertise this in our state, in their state. Go to another state. Oh, I'm sorry, the Democrats will not allow you to advertise your book in your state.
What about radio appearances other than shows like myself? Are you invited on to talk about the book?
I've talked a few times to a few different radios only to find out that they're not being aired.
So they're fake interviews.
I've had radio shows, yes. Maybe they're just trying to get information from me. Maybe they're being shut down. I don't know.
That is really, that's incredible. That would be a brilliant strategy to try to infiltrate you, find out what else you have,
Rutgers,
and where you're going.
Rutgers did a full interview with me, and no one's ever heard of it. Heard me even talking about the interview with anyone.
You know, I'm going to make a recommendation to you online and to all people listening that get interviewed. Get interviewed on your Skype. Because you get a Skype recorder, it automatically records everything. And I'll tell you, it comes in handy. I had a guy one time, John, that from the New York Times that called me. It was about a week before the election in 2016. And he interviewed me about what I thought was going to happen. And then he said a bombshell question at the end of the day to entrap me. He said, so when Trump doesn't win, are you going to find yourself on the side promoting violence? And my answer to him was, don't try to twist my words in print because this every word's been recorded here. And it's a good way to get protection here, and I recommend everyone make sure that their conversations are recorded when you're talking to media of any type.
You're talking to the king of recordings. I have recordings of Homeland Security, IRS, district attorneys, congressmen, Senate Judiciary Committee, over 100 and some odd employees. I record everyone.
What's the... And I don't want you to compromise what you need to hold in abeyance for your protection, but what publicly can you reveal is the worst thing that you've come across and that you would have some substantiation to support?
All the money laundering going around the world and how it's done in using the public's identity, from human trafficking to drugs, for terrorists, for arms, all the transactions taking place. When you put in someone's social security number in a system and 6,000 attorney escrows pop up, which lead you to millions of account holders and escrow accounts that no one knows that we're using attorney escrow accounts. We are using the attorney's accounts throughout all of America to transfer money around the world. For every illegal transaction taking place.
How does one find out if their identity has been stolen and being used in this illicit manner before the IRS notifies them?
Most likely they cannot.
See,
it's very hard to find because the bank has a whole system designed until either a case evolves where someone gets arrested for doing something, or the system has a default and something goes wrong somewhere, which happens quite frequently. That's how you find out. And then if it was an individual who had a $50 million transaction and it's just a regular person, him and his wife, he has two daughters, one in college, one non-college, and the IRS shut down all his bank accounts and everything to start his life. And he has no idea where his transaction came from. Transactions taking place through PayPal. People's identity stolen everywhere, using money to transfer money around the world with the bank and PayPal. And the victims are the ones that have to prove that they are being victimized. The illegal transactions are not needed to be proven because these entities, the bank, PayPal, they have so much power, they control everything.
So basically, people caught in the situation are cast adrift, and they don't really have a lot of recourse.
Nobody cares about the little guy.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine they could hire a forensic accountant at an exorbitant price to unlock all this, and they could probably show that they had no complicity, but they're bankrupt when they're done.
Oh, yes, indeed, you are bankrupt.
Yeah, this is far worse, John, than what we went through 4 years ago. Well, I want to turn the corner here and look at today. What do you see that you uncovered that's still prevalent today with regard to HSBC dealings and crime involving our politicians and key business figures?
There has nothing changed. HSBC is still laundering money. HSBC is committing crimes around the world. HSBC is still paying government officials. HSBC is helping them transfer money around the world and making sure that everything is done the way they want it done. I mean, HSBC is a cooperative bank between the British government and the American government for all the crimes taking place. They know exactly what's going on, and they're right there to collect money off these crimes. They don't want to stop them. They don't want these crimes stopped at all. They don't want this human trafficking to stop. They control it. They make money off of it. So the bank makes billions of dollars. Okay, give the government each, give the, this government a couple billion here, give this government a couple billion there. I mean, I knew what HSBC was going to pay for a fine years prior to paying for that fine.
My goodness.
I told law enforcement what the fine was going to be, and behold, here comes the fine a few years later. They're going to be paying this for a fine. Yep, I know that. Why isn't it more?
No, it's. I hear what you're saying. Let's take a fictitious example. Let's make up a name like Nancy Pelosi, okay? Totally fictitious person. And listen, I understand now what you're telling me, why the border is open in her eyes. It needs to be open because she's profiting from these illicit activities that get laundered through HSBC. And then they in turn donate to her in some fashion. She would say she receives the money through campaign donations, but what companies actually make the donation? I can't imagine they sign it sincerely the Sinaloa Drug Cartel or HSBC Bank. What's the mechanism for how they deliver the money?
Because the companies don't know they're delivering the money. It's going through the bank accounts that the companies don't know that they own, that are in your names.
Oh, no. You mean they're doing identity fraud through other banks?
Yes.
Oh my,
they control
goodness.
Your bank. They open a bank account in your name and deposit $100 million into that bank account in your name that was from drug money, terrorist money, from anything in the world, and then transfer the money to campaign contributions or anything they want to do. Well, let's lobby them and give them a trip. Let's give them this. I'll give you a great example here. I want to do a deal with China. So let's get a hold of Biden, Obama, and let's do a great deal with China for the American people. And let's make it so one of their children is the beneficiary of this whole transaction and gets paid billions, $2 billion. Do they have to disclose that to the American people?
No, not to their children.
Nope. So how is it their children are multi-millionaires? Being in college, working as a school teacher, but they're multi-millionaires from their parents being elected officials.
Do you think that they have them perform jobs like be in college, be a teacher, be a postman, to maintain some kind of cover for the money that they've been laundered?
Yes, they do. I don't think I know they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense to me, too. And this is getting more and more revealing by the minute. Well, John, I'm not going to do you justice unless we take a few minutes and talk about your work here. We got about 3 minutes left in the broadcast, and I don't think we've reached the end point here. We're going to have you back here to continue with this, but this has been pretty stunning. But in the time we have remaining, tell people how they can find out the complete story, because I know you've got a couple of books out there, and I want to give you an opportunity to promote those.
Well, my website is called crookedscum.com, CrookedScum.com. My book is on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Nobles. Sometimes people have a hard time finding it, but keep trying. It's there. But crookedscum.com, you will find my first book called Whistleblower. My first book is called World Bank and World Fraud Using Your Identity. My second book is called Whistleblower, Blood Money, with Obama, Clinton, Comey, Lynch. The name of the title is Whistleblower, Blood Money, Obama, Clinton, Comey, Lynch. Crookedscum.com.
Okay. And how do they finance it? Do you use PayPal?
I use PayPal. I use multiple different sources. Directly go straight through
credit card
accounts and all I have.
Credit card, so forth.
Anyway. Yes. order signed copies. You can do PayPal, credit cards, anything.
Okay. So is writing your only vocation today, or are you involved in another kind of day job, day opportunity?
I have other day jobs, yes. I have to. You can't live just off a book, which our government is trying to hide from the public.
Yeah, I don't want to pry where you work, but what kind of work are you doing now?
Insurance, investings, cars, restorations.
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
This
keeps you busy.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can see that it does, and I understand what you're doing. And you must see the insurance business as just something that you just makes you pull your hair out when you're doing transactions in an arena, because I know insurance is part of this. Absolutely, I'm sure.
Insurance is the world of fraud. They should just call insurance the land of fraud.
It's just absolutely incredible. I just, you know. The world basically now, what you're telling us, and I want to see if you think this is a fair summation before we sign off. The world has become one giant mafia network.
The world has become one giant mafia network controlled by our governments.
Interesting. So there's a complete intermarriage between an organization like HSBC and the U.S. Congress. That's what I'm hearing you say, and I think you probably would agree with
that. That is correct.
Assessment. Okay.
Yes, it is.
Now, that is a stunning note to end on. But, John, I have to tell you, from the bottom of my heart, you know how many times I've spoken about you in print. You know, I've written about what you've done. I've spoken to groups about what you've done here, and you deserve the public's admiration, and we're going to try to do our best to revive this, because so much of what you discovered when you were that vice president is coming into play today. And I want to tell you, I appreciate from the bottom of my heart you coming on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you very much. Be glad to be on anytime.
We will have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, John Cruz, former VP of HSBC Bank. Thanks for joining us, and stay tuned. We'll be back with more after the break.